Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. It's exciting in the studio today because I have a goat in here. Isn't that weird to have goats in your office?
There you go.
That goat would be known as Mr. Paul Kelly. So I know you heard that. It was not an actual real goat. That was actually Paul Kelly. You're pretty good at that, buddy.
Well, you know, everybody's good at something.
You know, if all this HVAC and plumbing shit don't work out, You can fall back on your impressions.
Exactly.
It's exciting to have you on here. I'm always having a good time with you. It's always good when somebody's sitting in the studio. So I appreciate you making the journey up here.
Oh, absolutely.
And because we have something exciting to talk about today.
We do.
I will say I'm going to go ahead and bust Chad's chops for a second because, you know, he did say he wanted to be, I think this is absolutely disrespectful that he did this to you, Paul. Like,
I know.
He said to me in a text, you should be hurt. Yeah. I feel bad. You know, I feel responsible, but this is some typical Chad Peterman bullshit. Just, you know, half-asses it, don't show up. So Chad, you're going to miss out, man. Like, you know, you could be learning today. And instead, you know, you were on your little white PR trip.
Or I could learn from him.
Don't give him that right now.
He's a rising goat.
We're not giving him that right now, Paul Kelly. Right now it's ball busting. So but I'm excited we got Paul Kelly on here. You have to know who this guy is. If you don't, I'll kind of give you a little bit I wrote a little thing here for you, but I'm actually not going to read it because I don't think I need to read this thing. It's what you bought Parker and Sons in 04. Is it 04?
Correct.
Yep. And it was what, like $7 million. And you scaled this thing to some like ridiculously big $250 million, like single market at the time. Like this thing has gone crazy. You blew it up. You came on board with Wrench Group. Now Daryl's been in here. Daryl was on the podcast about a month or so ago.
I listened to it.
Daryl's awesome. Love that guy. Great dude.
Smart dude.
You sat in a regional role for Wrench Group, kind of overseeing some of the brands. And Correct. Now I'm like, what are you even doing today? Like, what the hell besides?
Wow. I am.
What are you doing? Why are we here?
I don't know. Why are we here? No, I'm, I decided over a year ago, maybe a year and a half, to kind of slow things down a little bit, not work the 60 plus hours I was working, and maybe work 15, 20. And start to do some other things in my life that I wanted to do. I think I told you before, I had this list of stuff I wanted to do. I wanted to golf more. I wanted to learn Spanish. And I wanted to get back into magic. Guess what I've done with all three of those? I haven't even got to them yet. But I had this idea years ago, and we're going to talk about it, I know, today, about raising goats.
That's right. And we're going to talk about raising goats. I mean, you just have this, you know, infatuation with goats. I'm just so curious to hear about it. Yeah. It is interesting to hear, like, when you brought it up to me, because once we were talking pre-podcast, I do remember that conversation. And so for those that are listening, Paul's been to a few of the Rhino X events. And one of my favorite sessions still to this day was the session with you and JB, with you and Bancroft, in the rocking chairs around the campfire with the drinks. and the post-event reviews, like, loved that session. Yeah. It was so good. And that's actually kind of what inspired this past year's, which I know you had to miss, but you'll be back. Because we did like a similar session, like Q&A session like that. And we did it between the legends and the influencers. Yeah. So it was a pretty cool session. Yeah. And everybody loved it. And now it's like, I'm trying to figure out how the hell do I top it in 2026. I don't really know yet. We're going to figure it out.
You will.
I'm only figuring it out. I have the theme down. The theme is going to be pretty awesome. I know that Andrew's working on it for me, but like, it's going to be pretty cool. But it's always good to have you in here. And we always talk about Paul's skill, you know, as a business leader. You built this huge company, Parker & Sons, out here in the Southwest, in an incredibly hard market. But we always leave out that, you know, he's this magician thing. You know, we talked about it the first time that you came on the podcast. You have a book or a couple books? One book.
Just one book. Tricks of the Trade to Success.
That's right. And then he's one hell of a dancer. Exotic, by the way. Exotic.
Well, yeah, we won't do that right now, but yeah.
That exotic? That was during the slow season.
That's exotic?
They were exotic dancing. great dancer. I just always have the best time with you, man. And I've gotten to sit through, actually, it's been pretty cool because I started thinking back through, you know, through some of Josh's events and when we had like a room full of goats. You know, and I can remember one specific session I sat through. It was like you were there, Geiger was there, Boyce was there, Hutchison was there. It was
Rick.
Yeah. Great group of guys. And I just sit there and like took shots at me for like 3 hours, it seemed like. You remember that?
Yeah.
Dear God. And this is how much I love the trades. It was like, okay, I'm going to go into this. And the like, we're talking like we have this room full of great guys and they're going to tell me everything that companies like mine don't do. And that's great. Cause if I hear that, then I can go in and fix these things. That was like the thought process, but just getting to hang with everybody and build these relationships over all these years has been so cool for me, for us to even be able to do something like this. And you said, you know, you said to me here recently when you sent me an email, we're talking about doing this, that you wanted to include me in your Raising Goats.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say to you, thank you, man. Like that means the world to me that you would consider me for that.
Yeah.
You're
one of the goats in the industry and you've interviewed so many goats and so many great leaders. The knowledge that's in your head and the experience that you have just by talking to all of them, not to mention what you've done with Rhino, is very, very goat-like. So, you deserve to be on that panel.
That means a lot. I humbly accept that. You know, I don't know if some people don't take compliments well. I think sometimes like I take them well, but I feel like I'm always awkward when I respond to them. Cause it's like, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm the same way,
but I did want to make sure that I said that to you live on air. So thank you for that. And I'm excited to get into it all. I'm excited for what you're doing with it and for us to talk about it. But before I do that, Paul, I do not want to let our listeners down, nor do I want to let you down. Cause I know you appreciate a good joke.
I do.
And Chad really loves this. This is his favorite segment in the entire podcast. So I'm still gonna do this for him. So I'm gonna read three jokes. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna skip this first one. And I'm gonna go over to our old buddy, Rusty. I know you're listening. I'm gonna read one of your jokes, but it's only the one that I can actually read on air. And this is actually more of a, usually I ask the question, it's an answer, but this is more of like a statement. He said, this is from Rusty Cochran over in, Southern California. Got a lot of great jokes. He said, I had a rough weekend. I had a bad fall off a 14-foot ladder. Thank God I was only on the first step. But the other ones are actually better. I just can't read them on the air.
Yes. Well, that sounds more like Rusty, the other ones.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, I got another one for you. What do you see when the Pillsbury Doughboy bends over? What do you see when the Pillsbury Doughboy bends over? There's probably a lot of people on here listening right now who have no idea who the Pillsbury Doughboy is.
Yeah. Well, it's got to have something to do with a crack, but go ahead.
Ooh, donuts.
Oh, donuts.
Hey. okay, last one. What does a hot dog use for protection? This is an easy one.
Condiments.
Condiments, ladies and gentlemen. Those last two were far better than the first one, but Rusty, keep them coming, buddy. I appreciate them. Okay, hey, we're gonna jump in here. Okay, so here's what I want to do first. We're gonna talk about Raising Goats, which is like a collaboration with you and EGIA. I think is the one that is helping back this whole thing with you, or as part of their program,
right?
But it's an exclusive training program to help contractors kind of be the best that they can to be goats. You're trying to raise goats, right? Yeah. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And the main thing I wanted to do with this was just talk about what makes this different than everything else that's out there. Cause there's so much different things that you can be a part of and do. You know, we were talking again pre-podcast, Rhino X is a like a three quarter of a day event. And then everybody goes on and does their own thing.
Yeah.
Right. There's no ongoing accountability training, but there are opportunities to do this with other people or organizations. Are they goats? We don't know.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, you know, you did it. You crossed the finish line with Parker and said, like, you did the thing. And now you're like, hey, let's just go ahead and do something else. You had like these things that you're still, you didn't have the Mai Tais on the beach. You didn't have the, I mean, you're not doing the magician stuff. So you're like, yeah, I'm just going to keep going. You're not getting any damn younger, PK.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you doing this now? Like, is this just some passion you've had? Like, it just...
Well, I think everybody, and I know you've done this in a number of ways already, but everybody likes to leave a mark on their industry or on their family or with their friends or in the community they live in. And I've certainly done that with Parker & Sons, with the employees and the team members and the success that we've had. And you know, it's, I think, the largest business of its kind in a single market. And then I wrote the book to try and leave a mark. And I'm proud of both of those, but like everything, I wasn't satisfied.
Didn't fill your cup?
I wanted more. And I've been thinking about how do I share, if I'm good at all at what I do, it's because of all the people that have shared stuff with me and that I've learned from and the books that I've read and, the podcasts I've listened to and all those things. And I wanted to take all those and, a lot of what I came up with myself. And I wanted to put together something that isn't in the industry, that is different. And I thought about Raising Goats and how that would be such a legacy to leave, to be able to actually help 20 aspiring goats to be the very best they can be and to grow their companies at a rate they didn't even think possible. And for them to, you know, start to develop that net worth that... you know, would help them and their families in a way bigger way down the road. So that's why I'm doing it.
So when you say goats, obviously we're not talking about like goats. Yeah, we're maybe not. What would you say goats? Like, what do you mean?
The greatest of all time.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time. And I, you know, as I went, I was at one of your events and it dawned on me that's what you were doing, right? You were raising goats. You were trying to hook people up, contractors with people who had done it before, the goats in the industry. And there's not one goat. Everybody is a goat in their own right at something, I'm sure. But when you put together that list of some of the greatest in our industry and happened to invite me to, it was an honor for me. And I think that's what I'm trying to do with this class is can I, in a short period of time, can I raise goats and get them thinking differently, implementing at a higher level than they ever have before, operating at a higher level, and leading like they never have. Those are the four pillars of this. And I wanted to do it. I didn't want to do it if it was like everything else. I only want to do things if people know me at all, they know it. I'm not that person who wants to do what other people do. I want to do something that's never been done. And so that was really the basis of why I'm doing it. And, I started putting together some ideas in my head and I started thinking a little bit differently as I went through it. And I think I have what I believe is game-changing, life-changing training. You're not, most classes you go in and you learn something, then you have to go back and implement it. You're going to leave this class better at those four pillars. And it's going to be transformative in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, for all those that are listening, this isn't just you come and take a class and then you leave and it's over. Like there's right. ongoing stuff, ongoing accountability, which is usually a big missing piece of all of this is that, but, I do think that, the fact that you decided to do this is a blessing to a lot of people who actually take advantage of it. Now you can only work with a small group because of how intense some of the, you know, the training is. And there's some like real personal pieces, like you were talking about how it's hard. You have to like understand how these businesses function, you know, like individually, their own brand, mm-hmm. their own cultures, their own this, their own that, and how they function in them, and to know really truly know how to help them through some of these processes. And I want to talk about that. So even if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, Paul Kelly speaking, I'm going to listen, which you should. This isn't a class that I'm prepared to take. Well, we're going to talk about some of the things he's going to go through, at least so you at least have some perspective. And then maybe by the end you say, well, shit, maybe I'm just not thinking about this the right way. Maybe I actually am prepared for this, you know? Mm-hmm. And because I think that more often than not, people might think, oh God, I don't want to, you know, bring this to Paul and he sees what this, you know, house of cards is. You know what I mean? Like people get nervous about it. And that was the reason for Rhino X in a lot of ways is it was, I believe one of the superpowers I've been given is to be a super connector of people. I'm connected to so many people and I've had the opportunity to work with so many goats or be, you know, have good friendships with a lot of goats. And so I thought, well, hey, I can bring everybody together. And then all these people who have no clue who these guys are, only heard their name, never connected with them, can now not only connect with them, but then learn from them. But it is, but again, it's only a short little stint. It's a half, you know, three quarters of a day of just drinking from a fire hose, but there's nothing ongoing. And half the time they're afraid to ask you for like your number or whatever to connect with you. You know, even though I say it 500 times, like ask, they're here. They know why they're here. Right. This is cool because it is a, it's a piece of Paul Kelly's brain and his experience that he put together. And because he like, you know, of the goat that he is, he's trying to create this, this program that's unlike any other to then leave others to become goats in their markets. So maybe what we can do then real quick is you talked about the four pillars. You said, you know, teach them how to think, implement, operate, and lead, right? Operate mm-hmm. and lead. Maybe let's walk through what some of the trainings, you know, look like. So there's company planning, financial management, budgeting, pricing, marketing, sales, operations, like all kinds of stuff mixed into it. And if you go to the raisinggoats.com website, you can kind of see what the agenda looks like to get to get an idea.
Yeah, the agenda's out there. Yeah.
If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that I only talk about tools that actually help our team. And Bluon is definitely one of those. At Peterman Brothers, our techs are using Bluon every single day. It's become their go-to resource. It really is like having a senior tech in your pocket. They can scan a unit, get all the model data, wiring diagrams, parts, and even troubleshoot with Bluon's AI. We've seen fewer callbacks, faster fixes, and happier techs. And that's why I'm such a big believer in Bluon, because it actually works. So do yourself a favor, click on the link in the description and book a quick demo with the Bluon team to see it in action.
And to see some of the other participating coaches, actually, maybe real quick, just share who some of the other coaches are that are helping out in this.
Well, there's you.
There's me. Yeah,
there's you. Tommy Mello. You might have heard that name.
Yeah, I know that guy. He's all right.
My son, one of the youngest rising goats in our industry. Yep. We got Drew Cameron.
Great.
Mark Madison, one of the best leading, as far as leadership, is one of the best trainers in the industry, I believe. We have David Holt from EGIA. We're going to have some surprise goats as well. Yeah, just that lineup right there to learn from those people in a 1 week period and then ongoing afterwards is like, you can't put a price on that. You just can't. And I'm going to spend specific time with each of the companies. I'm going to do a little, you know, a lot of homework on each company before the class. I'm going to be looking at the website, I'm going to be looking at their online reputation. I'm going to be asking them some questions. I'm going to know a little bit about some of them. In the end, I don't want to broad stroke the training. I want to give individuals training they need, where they need it, when they need it. And so that much of it's going to be taught by me and sharing what I know and what I've thought through in this training, and some of the other goats are going to hop in with some short training as well.
So I think the thing that I like most is you're saying this can be unique to the individual person coming in, which is why you can only do 20.
Right.
That's a lot of time.
We're going to solve some of their company issues and problems right there in the class. And it's not me solving it. It's not the other people solving it. What's neat about this class is most classes, you go in and you teach something, and it's a 8-step process or 10-step process, and it's somebody telling you what to do. And if it's a really good class, they might tell you how to do it. This is going to have some of that. But what I'm more excited about is getting people to think through their own problems. I've got a method that I came up with of thinking through problems, figuring out what the consequences of the decisions you make are, and how to make way better decisions, and then to simplify the things that you come up with so that they're easier to implement. If they're easier to implement, they're more scalable. And then that starts to take your company to a whole new level. So they'll be able to start thinking on their own, thinking through problems where maybe before they had to rely on a coach to tell them what to do, and then they had to go perform that, right? And some of them performed it and most of them don't. If there's one thing most contractors aren't very good at, it is it's implementation, isn't it?
Actually doing it.
And why do you think people, they intend to do it, they want to do it, why do you think they don't do it?
I think that they may fear they're going to mess it up, do it wrong, or they don't make the time to do it.
They don't make the time to do it. They get back. The business overtakes them.
Right back in the routine.
Right. They delegate the implementing to somebody else who's also not good at implementing. We're going to solve some of that, make it easier to implement things. Look, to be a $250 million company, to grow $40 million in 1 year, 2022, there's only one other company that I know grew that fast in 1 year. I think you had him on recently from NextGen, Mr. Ishmael. he grew 39-something that same year we grew 40. To grow that much, you have to think differently, but what you have to get crazy good at is implementing things. And you'll only be able to do that if you can simplify them to a degree that implementing them is easier. If it's too complicated, people don't do it. And so that's what I've spent a lot of time and energy, money and effort around, is how do I do that? How do I make things simpler? And then how do I get people to be able to implement it faster, easier?
Are you doing this in like a group setting still? Like, are you, or do you do any like, you know, one-on-one stuff with these guys? Like,
there's going to be some one-on-one. A lot of the stuff is in small groups of five. There's going to be four groups of five. Some of the solving will be that. A lot of it is not me. The operations part, I'm going to go through, you know, from sales to marketing to how to make more money to recruiting to hiring to retention to, you know, any number of areas. And I'm going to give the cliff notes on the two or three things you need to get crazy good at in each of them. And then I'm going to give them the secret to the simplification of how to go about it. And that'll be part of it. But most of it is about them coming up, me giving them the methods and the way to go about thinking and implementing, and them coming up with things on their own. I want people to be able to solve their own problems, not to. People ask me, who were some of your best mentors? And I had mentors early on, and I still have mentors, but most of the mentors for the longest time I never even met. I learned from them just by watching them, by hearing about them, by reading stuff from them or whatever. you know, George Brazil was one of those guys, you know, George Brazil, I learned from for years and years. And it was many years later that I actually met the man. And then because I had to figure a way to beat him in Phoenix, Arizona. Right. And now we're what, 5-6 times their size.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake that I made with George. He came to me and he said, "Hey, Paul, whose company do you think is better known in this town, yours or mine?" And I said, "George, I don't know. I know what the answer you want me to say is, but I said they're both very well known." And he said, "So you think yours is as well known as mine?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "You got to be kidding me." Anyway, it was a bad thing to say to George. I go, "It doesn't matter, does it? We're both," by that time I was much larger than him. I go, "It doesn't matter. All that matters is you're well known and I'm well known. So, you know, it's not a contest," which is another thing we teach in the class is, you know, like at a blackjack table, it's not about you win and everybody that's playing with you loses,
right?
It's about cheering everybody on. Everybody wins. Now, your job is to win at a higher level, but not for them to lose. The dealer losing, that's what
everybody
you're rooting
cheers.
For.
Yeah, cheers.
But no, and that's why I like to share stuff. Some of my best friends are in the industry in Phoenix, Arizona, and we share a lot. We even train each other's techs, which sounds kind of crazy, but we've had that relationship with each other and that's how everyone gets better.
Yeah. I love that. I love the story about George. I just wonder, like, when he went back, he's like, "Okay, we got to change some things. What are we doing?" It was certainly a competitive question.
Well, I got one over on him. After he passed away, and that's when I got Daryl. So
yeah.
Daryl worked for him.
That's right. Yeah, Daryl. God,
that's a long story. We won't get into.
What a great dude.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking that question because I wonder, you know, people are probably wondering maybe the size of business that like should participate in this. You know, Do you have like at least a range or at least you're this size before you should consider?
Yeah, if you go to the site, it'll say 3 million. I think the ideal size is 5 to 10. But anybody 3 or above, I'll be able to teach you. I mean, hey, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it seems like a long time ago, 20 years ago or whatever, but. I know a lot of $3 million companies that I've helped that are now 20, 30, 50, $100 million companies. So, you just start a roofing company. Yeah. You're going to be one of the largest, but you start small.
Yep.
And so, this class is for, and now what I don't want is people in the class that one, don't want to grow, don't want to learn. They're happy where they're at. They don't want to aspire to be larger, or they've been at a million in revenue and for the last 10 years and they're kind of stuck there. It is some of the concepts and some of the things we'll talk about. You got to be at least a 3 million, 5 million, is maybe the sweet spot, but really I think a lot of people listening to this podcast that are 10, 20 million, that want to be 50 million, or the 50 million that wants to be 100 million, or the 100 million that wants to be a 250 million, and they're trying to figure out, how do I get there? Right now, Daryl is trying to figure out how to be a $500 million business in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's what we think about, and that's what we talk about. No business is really too small. If you're 3 million or above, you're going to be a great candidate in this class to learn what you need to.
Perfect. And would you prefer they be HVAC, plumbing, electrical?
HVAC, plumbing, electrical. There are, we're going to have some.
That's the majority of people.
Yeah, in the class that I've got a distributor that signed up to be in the class. I might have a manufacturer or two that want to sign up. In the end, here's the deal. Why do people buy Lennox, Trane, Carrier, whatever you buy? It doesn't matter to me. I'm not brand loyal to any one brand. What is important is that that brand helps you grow your business or be more profitable.
Yeah.
That's their job. It is to provide equipment, but that's no different than it. Our job is to run the calls and to be there. But in the end, we got to fix stuff. We got to make them happy. We got to keep them comfortable. A distributor's job is to help you grow your business. And some of them do that by retail relationships with Costco or Home Depot or Lowe's or others, and they do it other ways. There's nothing, I think it would be genius in some sense for distributors and manufacturers to figure out, how do I really grow, help my current contractors that I have that are 20 million be 50 million, or 50 million be 100 million? What kind of market share could I gain if they start growing and they're loyal to me? And that's a different way of thinking. And that's some of what we're going to cover, is how to think that way.
Well, that's actually interesting. I wouldn't have thought that when you say it, it actually makes sense. Like the better they understand the actual inner workings of their client, their customer, you can become a better partner to serve them, or understand how they actually can scale to this number that, you know, that you want them to scale to. Cause really what they want you to do is buy as much equipment as they possibly can. Right. That's the game. And you want to be able to do that. Cause if you have the opportunity, it means you're growing too. So that's interesting. I want to dig into these four pillars real quick, but the first one we keep talking about is, like, you know, how to think, you know? Now, one of the sessions is how to think and solve a problem session. So you probably have some, like little, you know, challenges to work through with them, or like things in place where you're going to, you know, probably push on them a little bit to think through a session, and you're going to tell them how, you know, or get them to think through how to solve a problem, like you mentioned earlier. But like, what are some of the things you do in that particular session?
Well, first it'll be about some learning and teaching, and how simplicity is a key to everything that you do. And we're going to talk about just the keys to thinking, and how knowing the outcome you want is so important, and working your way back. If you want to solve a puzzle real quick, the one where you have to find the treasure, it's best to start at the treasure and work your way back. Knowing the consequences of decisions and thinking. And then there's always those that don't do much thinking, right? That if I'm good at something, it's because I just think all the time. People ask me, Mark Madison asked me the other day, like, what's your ritual for thinking? Like, do you carve out a half hour every day to think? And then what's that look like?
Do you do that?
No, I don't. No. Because I told him, I said,
I've tried it. I can't do it.
I'm constantly thinking. I think when I'm driving, I think when I'm laying down in bed sometimes, I'm thinking. There's just almost not a time when I get my head wrapped around things like raising goats, or like writing the book, or growing Parker and Sons. I just think about it all the time. It consumes me. And I think that, and I'm going to teach people how to kind of fast track that a little bit. And become a way better thinker. If you're a better thinker, you can solve your own problems. Most people, they have to, maybe they run into something that they have trouble handling or whatever, and then they have to wait for their coach's, you know, monthly call to ask them, hey, how would you handle this? By the time they find out what they need to know, or that they would actually implement it, that problem has turned into 10 other problems, or has solved itself. And so thinking through things on your own is what I got really good at. And if you look at the goats, and you're one of them, whether it's, or it's Tommy Mello, or it's my son Josh, or... you know, my daughter is a goat in her own right in marketing, because she thinks, I mean, what she's taken Parker and Sons to is just a whole nother level. But all these goats have something in common when it comes to thinking, and I've tried to analyze that, and I'm going to be sharing that.
Got it. Yeah, I've actually tried to, like, because I have ADHD, I have to calendar block my days. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way I learned how to, like, cope with my brain not going all over the place, because I'm always thinking, too. The problem is I keep thinking about different stuff. Like, you're focused mm-hmm. on this thing, and my brain shifts from one thing to the next to the next. But I've learned that I can't put it in the middle of my day and just stop what I'm doing uh-huh. and then shut my brain off and then be like, okay, this hour I'm just going to sit and think.
Yeah.
Because my brain wanders.
Yeah.
So what I've learned I can do is, Josh and I are both like working out heavy right now, trying to get in shape. He's looking great.
He's transformed himself.
He looks good. Yeah. He did send me a shirtless picture the other day. Yeah. I favorited it. No. but part of that, what I'm also doing is, in the mornings is when I do my best thinking. So when I wake up, you know, a lot of people go to the gym. I don't do that. I go to the gym in the afternoon. Like, it's actually good because I can shut my brain. Well, never really works. I go to the gym. I just keep thinking more about all the other shit I got to do and like things I want to do. But it actually, I'm like motivated, you know, cause I'm in there like working out. But in the mornings, I just kind of get up in the morning and I let my brain do what it does. Like the first hour and a half where my kids get up, you know, get up mm-hmm. at 5:30. And I just sit there and like think, and I journal sometimes, that helps. And that's my best time to really start thinking through things. And what I've realized is like the first thing I think about is what I know is most important to me to solve that day. Mm-hmm. So I've been chasing those things down. You said one thing that was interesting, and I'm going to pivot to my next question. I never thought about this analogy, and I don't know what it means or if it means anything at all, but you mentioned like how you would find those maps and you'd work from the treasure and go all the way backwards. Mm-hmm. That's how I have always done it. Yeah. I never started from the beginning and went to find the treasure. Right. I always did it backwards.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that means.
That means
what does that mean, Paul?
That means you're smart. You start with the end in mind and you work your way back.
Okay.
And,
well, that was an accident.
Yeah. Hey, no, I think most people start at the beginning and they work their way to the end. And sometimes people do that with surveys even. I always ask people when they're doing a survey of their company or whatever, like, what do you want the outcome to be? Oh, I don't care. I just want it to be fair or whatever. No, like, what do you want the outcome to be from this survey you're doing? Because once you know what you want the outcome to be, then you can guard against maybe swaying the survey.
Yeah.
And and in the end you want to find out the things that are really happening, not the things you think are happening or that you want to happen.
Can I give you an example of what I think you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
Something that we've done in here. When we brought on our private equity partner, the process changed to an NPS score, a net promoter score that we would do with our employees as well as our clients. But it's different. What Anna and I did was we simplified this and we called it a right, wrong, missing, and confusing. And it was an anonymous, right? And we wanted all the employees to fill it out anonymously. So mm-hmm. that way from their perspective, what's right in the business, what's wrong, what's missing and confusing. The hard part is it's like basically three dick kicks, you know, because it's all three negatives and then like one positive category.
Right.
And all the negatives are always bigger than the positive.
Right.
But it was great because we also as leadership team would do it without looking at theirs and then look to see where are we on the same page. You know, yeah. Is there a gap? Are we feeling the same things? And then what we would do is we would say, okay, these things make sense. Some people don't understand decisions that are being made because of where they're at on the mountain, right? They only have a limited view. Like what we see things differently. So they don't know all the things, but we do, but you could cross-reference that and think about the end in mind and which of these changes actually make sense to work on this year. And then we would go into our annual meeting with everybody and we would share it.
Yeah.
You know, but then they felt heard. And then we could start to implement changes that make, because there's some things that we don't have, like we're blind to, we don't see.
Yeah.
And they were able to share with us. So that's one process that, you know, I think that we would use to get to that end result.
Yeah.
Simple. Well, it wasn't over, you know, we didn't overthink it, but
you're hitting on some of the things that are going to be in the class. That's exactly the kind of thought process that you want to have in order to be a better leader.
Well, and then half of the battle is, like you said, another one of your pillars is implementation. you know, and I've probably presented, I know these guys have heard it a bunch. I've probably done 500. Well, I know I've done 500 plus keynotes, webinars, breakouts, like over the last, you know, 17, 18 years, a ton of speaking. And one thing I've learned a lot is what you were just talking about earlier. And that is people sit in these meetings and then they go back and they don't do anything with it, or they half-ass it, right, or they give it to somebody who breaks it and they don't even attempt to fix it again. And right, they just kind of go back into the routine. I'm like, why did we just spend time and money and effort on all these things for you to go back and do nothing?
Yeah.
So I would say ambition without action is useless. I used to say that. But it also takes effort to be a great implementer. And yeah, I think you also need to recognize if you're not the implementer and you know it, then who is going to help you do this thing? So there has to be some process there. And that's a session that you guys have as well, is on how to be a great implementer. Maybe just share a little bit of what you're going to do in that session.
Yeah, I know one of the, if anybody has read my book that's listening, one of the chapters is a trick, and the trick is how to solve any problem, any ongoing repetitious problem that you have in your business or in your life. And the way to solve it is a really simple formula. You meet often enough with the right people. That's it. Meet often enough with the right people. If you meet often enough with the right people, you're going to come up with a plan. You're going to come up with an implementation method. You're going to hold people accountable. You're not going to meet every week or every day, maybe, and just look at each other and twiddle your thumbs. You're going to start to do stuff. And so, and if it's not being solved, when people would come into my office and say, you know, hey, could you help me with this problem? I would ask them, are you meeting often enough with the right people? And they said, yeah, no, we meet every week. And yeah, no, we're meeting often enough with the right people. And I said, well, maybe you need to meet more often, but probably you need to get some other people in the room that can help you solve it. Now, if you want to invite me, I'm happy to go in there, and I guarantee you we're not going to leave till we solve it. And so just ask me. But if you want to try and solve it on your own or invite somebody else, do that. You're going to learn things like that. Everything's going to be simple. But the, you know, I've been to conferences or I've done my own speaking events, and I ask people afterwards to critique me, and they invariably say the same thing. They say, no, you were awesome. I mean, everything was down to earth and I understood it, and it seemed easy. Look at all the notes I took.
Like vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, like vanilla ice cream. Look at how many notes I took. And no one's going to impress me with how many notes that you take, or I don't judge whether that particular talk was beneficial just by how many notes everybody took. I really, what only counts is what gets implemented and what you can actually implement in your company. And so we're going to dissect the, you know, back to simplicity, back to that vanilla, vanilla cells, and simplicity is the key to most everything. And then what you're going to dissect your own company on your own, trying to figure out what can you implement and what can't you implement. What you should listen to out on podcasts and what you should try to ignore, because everybody can't do everything. Somebody asked me one time, it was at a Clover event, and he said, I go to this, I go to that. I listen to this podcast. I read this book. My company is still not doing well. You got any advice? And not to knock anything out there, because all of it's good and you should go to it. But I told him, quit going to all those things. You know what you should do. You got to figure out how to implement something. If you never figure that out, you can go to all the things you want. You're going to graduate a great learner, but not your
implementer.
Yeah, it's not going to change anything. And so We'll talk about that. We'll work through that. They'll go through some exercises in their groups with it, and they will walk away from that class a better implementer and know what they have to do. And some of it's thinking through the simplicity part. You've got to make everything that you do so simple that anybody can implement it, and it's easy to do. But not it's not easy. It's simple to do. Nothing's ever easy.
Yeah, that's actually, so you just actually brought up something that I just want to talk about real quick before I jump to my next question. You mentioned, hey, just stop going to these shows. You know you need to do, like, just focus on that.
Yeah, I don't mean to. Go to Rhino X. All those things.
I don't mean that. That's not where I was going with it. Yeah. Where I was going with it is, I think people need to check a box though and say, I did help myself this year because I went to all these different events, and in some way they feel like I am going and educating myself. I am going and learning these things, and they probably are. Mm-hmm. But what good does it do for you to spend the time and money to go to all these different events? I mean, to go and hang out and drink beers, people that like do that.
Yeah.
But even if you go to, like, here's a perfect example. Coming up, we have Pantheon. You have Tommy's event, Home Service Freedom. There's Next Star Super Meeting coming up. There's Hardy conferences coming up. There's Women in HV. There's all this. There's a bunch of shit happening over these next few months. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to someone yesterday who said, "Yeah, I'm going to go to this one, and this." I'm like, "Why are you going to all three of these? Like, you don't need to go to all three." Like, and what you just made me think of was, like, I just wonder if people, that's the box that they check, and like the intention is good and it's to go and learn, but they're still coming back. And I went to three events and I implement one thing. That ratio seems off to me.
Yeah.
Because in their mind, maybe they're like, okay with the fact that they went to these things, and then when they're ready, they will implement.
Yeah.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate. From the first Google search to the driveway, Prolific brand design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific brand design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific.
Well, I would say one thing, if it's the right thing, and we'll learn about that in the class, implemented crazy well. If there's one phrase that you would, if you ask team members at Parker & Sons, and especially the key leadership team, what's a phrase I say a lot? They would say, get crazy good at it. People don't get crazy good at stuff. They try something, they roll something out, they have a meeting about it, and then they they do one of these, you know, and hey, I rolled that out. Well, no, you didn't. The hard, that was the easy part. The hard part is the after that. How do you get it to stick? How do you get it to implement? How do you make it part of their routine that they get used to? All that is part of the implementation process, and you got to get crazy good at implementing. That's you know, a fundamental thing that if you want to grow your business to 50 million, 100 million, or 10 million, whatever it is, you got to be a way better implementer.
You feel like a lot of these businesses overcomplicate processes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel that way here. Like I literally just had a conversation with someone on my dev team, you know, development team. And I'm like, man, I remember the day when we did this thing I'm asking you to do that day.
Yeah.
And now it's going to take me a week. Why is it taking me a week? And I don't know, you know, but I definitely feel like that, you know, that as you grow and scale and you bring in people, it's the intent is good, but you are overcomplicating processes, which then makes them take longer, which means they cost more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, the process and the implementation has to be simple. Most people just aren't good at a 10-step process, sales process, or memorize this. First you say this, and then you say that, and then you say this. And then, and you know what? If you did all those 10 steps, it works. There is no doubt it works, and that's what people want to teach. I'm not like that. I'm not a 10-step guy. I'm a 1-step guy, maybe 2. I want things that I can easily explain, that I can understand very quickly, that I can memorize and know that I can implement that, you know, very quickly. And yet, those are the things that are the most powerful. As I listen to your podcast, as I listen to Tommy or Drew Cameron, who's also a goat in the program, or my son Josh, or Mark Madison, They all have a simplicity about their thinking, and that's what I'm really good at. That's one of my superpowers, so to speak. I'm not a complicated person. I can't implement complicated things. I'm a simple person. I speak simply, and I can only implement things that are really, really simple.
Yeah, I think that's just how I am by nature. Yeah. I don't think my brain allows me to go too deep into things, you know, just like I can't see all the shit that can go wrong. And I don't want to see it. Let somebody else worry about that. I'm focused on this right here. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to shift gears to one more thing. You know, another part of the pillars is, you know, your operations, but also leadership or leading. You have another session that's specifically on leadership and communication skills. With, I think, a little culture building in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kind of finish in that area right there. Let's just talk maybe about some of what you do there. And then what I want everybody that's listening to know is, what is it, you know, cost to participate in this thing? What's it look like? You know, when is it? We haven't talked about that. But before we get there, maybe just talk about this next session on leadership and communication skills.
Yeah. So some of the other goats are going to be doing a lot of the leadership. I'm going to chime in as well. But the leadership portion is about being humble and hungry. And it's about finding what your strengths are that you can springboard off of, that people love about you, that you're really good at, and capitalizing on those and trying to minimize the things maybe that you're not, and having others prop you up where you need it. And it's self-analyzing yourself. And you'll do that just amongst yourself as you think through things. But the leadership portion, Mark Madison has helped Parker and Sons tremendously over the years and has made a lot of good leaders, great leaders at Parker, and we've benefited greatly, and he's going to do much of that training along with some of the other goats. Yeah.
I've never heard him speak.
Oh my gosh. He's so good.
I mean, I've heard the podcast, I heard podcasts,
yeah,
but I've never actually like been in person and heard him speak.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's kind of an old cowboy guy, and he has a way of putting things and thinking through things, and he's one of the best storytellers, if you like great stories and the backstory of things. You're going to learn a lot from Mark. So he's, yeah. he's one of those guys that once you meet, you'll want to spend some more time with him.
So are these guys like hanging out with you guys? Are they there for like whole time, part of the time? Like, how's it work?
Part of the time, Mark's there the whole time. David's there the whole time. I'm there, obviously, the whole time. Tommy, you, Josh, Drew, pop in, pop out, right. Or they'll do some video stuff. Yep. You know, most of it might be via video. But yeah, they'll be making their presence.
And then there's some fun stuff too. Like, I mean, that's fun, but there's also some like after hour stuff, like dinners and things like that.
Of course.
That's when the real fun.
If there's one thing we know how to do, it's have fun. Yeah, no, that's part of my interview process. When I hire people is I want to know, are they fun? Will they laugh at my jokes and can they make me laugh? If not, then it's not a no for sure, but You're starting in a hole.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to give you a heads up now. I'm going to have you close this out with a Paul Kelly joke. Not right now, but I'm going to let you have that time to think about it. So let's go ahead and just transition to, first off, when is this? Let our listeners know when this is happening.
So it's October 20th through the 24th.
Out here in Arizona, right?
Out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Scottsdale. Nice hotel. That time of year, we'll be in class during the days.
It's gorgeous.
The evenings are perfect.
Perfect.
And if you want to stay the weekend, if you want to bring your wife or husband or significant other or whatever, it's a great weekend to stay. And Scottsdale, Arizona, October 20th through the 24th, there are only 20 goats. I wanted to keep the class small. And I may do this again, I may not, but I would consider this your chance. If you want to be mentored by me personally, ongoing, and you want to be mentored by some of the greatest goats in our industry, then you're going to want to be there.
Yeah. And we record this episode on August 14th and, these things are already over half full. So like you need to, you know, make sure that you're getting on top of this really quick. Again, it's raisinggoats.com. So it's pretty easy to find and you can sign up through there, right?
Yep. Yep.
What's the cost to participate in this?
So it's $17,500 for the class. There's an ongoing, monthly fee, which includes the monthly ongoing coaching. We'll have some quarterly sessions where we'll dive into your company, deeper. And that is $395 a month. Now, look, I could care less about the money. We've made our money.
Yes.
It's not about the money. It's about supporting EGIA, which, is a great, arm, and EGIA came to the table, and basically for that $395 a month, you also get a membership into EGIA, which includes their one ticket to Epic, which is one of the best conferences.
Towards the end of the year too, right? When is that?
No, that's in February, March.
Q1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you'll get access to all of their training from Weldon Long to Gary Alex to Drew Cameron to, they have literally, I think, thousands of things by topic. You have a topic you want to, you're having trouble figuring out. We may talk about it during that month, but you'll have access to all of their library and all of their training material. Which is normally $395 a month. So you're getting my coaching on top of that and all the other goats coaching and then the quarterly. So it's maybe some think that's a lot of money. But I would tell you, I would pay that. Guarantees are nothing unless there's a hook on to
there's
it.
No chance that you spend $17,500 and go to this class for 5 days and learn from you guys and
it will make you millions. I totally believe that. Wow. I put too much work and time and energy into this. It will make you millions, tens of millions of dollars over your lifetime. or if you're looking to flip your company or sell it at some point, it will get you a greater multiple. And so, yeah, I'm more excited about doing this than I have anything that I've done in my life. And I've been pretty excited about a lot of things.
Well, I can tell it's been stuck because he brought it up to me, you know, what, February, I think it was, or no, it was not even, it was, might even been last year.
Yeah. I talked to probably literally 50 leaders or goats in our industry. And without exception, after I talked to them about what I was doing, every one of them wanted to be a part of it. And so, that's how excited I think they are about it. I am about it. And if you want to be a part of it, go out soon and sign up. Yeah. And you won't regret it.
I'm excited to see the outcome of it all. You know, it's, I wish I had an HVAC company. I go be a part of it and just sit and learn. Well, because I'm genuinely interested in like some of the stuff probably overlaps, like regardless of your, I mean, if you're in the home services, home improvements business, like there's some of this stuff that's going to be, you know, general that you can learn from, but,
yeah. Well, you can be a spectator in the back of the class, yeah, any day you want.
I appreciate you telling me that, you know, I will participate in some of these things, yeah. You know, like I actually, there's some of these that I will come in,
oh,
and
yeah.
Sit through.
No, you're going.
The dinners I'm for sure in.
Yes.
If they're serving drinks, no, I'll be there.
I want you there. And people are going to learn so much from the sidebar things that you can talk to them about. So absolutely. That's all going to be a part of it.
Yeah. That'll be fun. And anyway, I think that I'm guessing how your brain works is, you know, you're going to do this. You're going to be jacked up about it when it's done, the outcome of it. And you're going to be like, okay, like let's just keep going. And yeah. You hope that Teresa just continues to support you on yeah. along the way.
Yeah.
Well, then let's do this. One, first off, thanks for giving me your time and driving up here. I know you're going to hit a little bit. Oh, no, we're right before rush hour. You're going to be just fine because you're going back the opposite way. You're going against rush hour, so you'll be fine. But, it wouldn't be proper if I didn't let you know, close this thing out with a PK joke, with the Paul Kelly joke. One, you know, your son is like killer at joke telling.
Yeah.
Like whenever I, you know, if it's me and him and Tommy hanging out, those two just throw jokes back and forth. I've never been that guy. I can just throw out jokes off the top of my head, but he has so many.
Yeah.
Most you couldn't share on here, which makes some really good jokes.
That's what most of mine are.
I know. That's
I'm
why
I'm trying to think real quick, a clean one that I have.
That's why I was trying to give you some time to think right. through this. So I'm going to ad lib for a second while you can think of one, then you let me know when you're good. Right. Okay. So to all of our listeners, you know, again, what Paul is talking about is he has these four pillars that these guys are going to train against. And he's actively involved in training in these sessions himself and taking like an active role in you becoming a goat. He's raising goats. So you got your think, your implementation, your operations, and leading, becoming a good leader in your business. So these are fun. And to be taught by a goat, one of the goats. I like that you said that, oh, you allowed me to participate. I'm like, yeah, dude, PK is like one of the goats. Like I live in Arizona where Parker and Sons is, right? And so it's been cool just to see everything and to be able to, you know, have a personal relationship with you means the world, you know, to me and build our friendship. So did I do a good enough job to give you enough time to get to a joke?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Right, let's let it rip.
All right. I was going to do the one that's in my book, but I'm going to assume some have read it. So I want this to be a new one for everyone. So this guy has the interview of his lifetime and he knows if he's late, he's not going to get the job. So he pulls in the parking lot and he drives around. There's no spots open. Drives around again. No spots open. He goes out on the street. It's full. Drives in the parking lot one more time. No spots open. He looks up to heaven and he says, "Dear Lord, if you would just open up a spot for me, I promise I'll be better. I'll treat people better. I'll stop drinking. I'll be the dad that I know you want me to be. And I'll go to church every Sunday. Just please, please open up a spot." Right then, this guy pulls out. He pulls in. He looks up to heaven. He says, "Never mind. I found one."
Oh my God. Hey, that was a hell of an ask he was going for a parking spot. Yeah,
never mind. Never mind. I found one.
Jeez. That might be the cleanest joke I've ever heard you tell.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Man, I appreciate you coming on here, Paul.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be, you know, a small part of it. And thank you for asking me.
Yes.
And I'm like legit excited about all of it too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and people, ask me all that. It's interesting because from my seat today, you know, I work with so many of our private equity partners, which is a way different view than working with the individual contractor. But my, you know, I'm still involved. I hear everybody's like stuff. Like,
yeah.
And so I have an opinion on just about everything, yeah. You know,
It all sounds the same. That's why people say, how is this different? And I go, oh my God, there's nothing like this out there.
Yeah.
Guarantee that.
Yeah. And I that's why I'm excited to just be a small, a little part of it. So to our listeners, man, you know, hit him, you know, go raisinggoats.com. Go stop. Like, get off, stop listening now and hop on there and get your shit booked before it closes out. There's not even that many spots left because he rolled this out already, like, you know, ahead of time. So this wasn't the first time you've rolled it out. It's just, you know, we're running out of time. This thing's in October.
Yeah.
So get moving. But, you know, you have those four pillars. I guarantee you, you're not firing all cylinders, you know, on all cylinders and all those pillars. So you can probably learn a few things too. And again, you know, think about, you know, where you're really trying to grow with your business and be thoughtful. You know, if it's something like where Paul is saying, you're sitting at, you know, $1-3 million and you're just kind of cool with being there. Probably not the suggestion for you to take this class and take up space for somebody else who really wants to scale these businesses. But you know, if you're sitting in that 5, 10, 20, you know, whatever million mark, and you're like, hey man, I just need to get to this next level. Like, who else can get you to a $200 million company that's going to be actually involved in the business and the training?
And can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
One of the things in the class that's important to me is that you're going to learn how to raise your own goats. Okay. This is going to be a movement more than it is a class. I want people's... People ask me, aren't you afraid of people stealing your special sauce that you created for this class? And I said, no, I want them to steal it. I want people to be able to raise their own goats for other organizations to learn from it. I want our whole industry to get better. And this will just be the first step in that process. So you'll be able to go back to your own company and you will be able to teach the people that work for you how to be a goat, and that will raise up your company like never before.
Yeah. I mean, this is perfect because you can learn all this stuff, but you still got to go back and compete.
Yeah.
You still got to go back and compete in a market. The hope is that at least you're doing it with a little bit more of a finely tuned machine and with having some of the best help, like at your fingertips on your phone if you needed to ask somebody a question or whatever to get an answer to move on faster, but also just being able to think through some, or, you know, come up with some simplified SOPs to solve problems or help the other team. I love the fact that you're raising goats that can raise goats.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, listeners, that's a wrap for this particular episode. Hit up my man PK on raisinggoats.com. Obviously, you know, you can find him on social media too. He won't be the fastest guy to respond to you.
No, I'm not a big social media guy.
But I could say you'll find him, but he might not respond to you. Yeah. Best thing to do to get time with Paul Kelly is raise a goat. Come be a goat, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say, I finish the podcast every time. I say, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days. Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.